Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 4 o'clock, and it is time to go blitzing. So much going on today on Grant and Danny. We've already talked to Nats manager Davey Martinez. Make sure you podcast that interview if you missed it. Coming up at 6, the GM of the White Hot Wizards, who have won 5 straight games, Tommy Shepard, 2 hours away. And this big story now, the feel-good story of the year for the Washington football team, is becoming less feel-good. Alex Smith is saying that the team never wanted him around, saying that the team didn't want him on the roster, that they basically were surprised when he came back and he threw a wrench into their plans. We'll get into that coming up on the Blitz with Pete Haley of NBC Sports Washington in just a couple of moments. But let's kick things off on the hardwood. Ava Wallace covers the Wiz for the Washington Post. Ava, 5 in a row. Where did this come from? This team was a debacle about a week and a half ago, and now nobody can beat them.
Yeah, you know, Scott Brooks kept telling us 2 weeks ago, he was like, I just have a feeling if we get a couple of things together, we're going to go on a run. And, you know, we're all sitting on Zoom like, uh-huh, sure, coach, sure. And turns out he's the one laughing now. So, yeah, joke's on us. But it's been an incredible streak for them. Just it kind of came out of nowhere, like you guys said. But, yeah, Brad and Russell Westbrook have been so efficient. And the surprise of the season, defense. Can you believe it? Defense.
Ava, no, quite simply, no, I don't believe. Like, if they played kind of like this, they'd be the four seed in the East through the first, if they were this for the first 6 weeks, where they just try to guard people sometimes. It's a novel concept. It's, you know, it's effort or organization, whatever it is. How did this happen? It's like a switch got flipped overnight where all of a sudden they're trying to check people. It's amazing.
Yeah, and in the middle of this really crazy stretch of February, too, they've had 16 games this month they've got scheduled. And, you know, Scott Brooks has told us they did change some things tactically on the defensive end. He has declined to go into details over that so far. But it also just looks like, exactly as you said, it's a lot more effort. It's a lot more people kind of stepping up to individual challenges. You know, we saw that last night with Rui Hachimura and Denny Avdija taking on LeBron James and kind of getting in his face and not being scared of that challenge. So it's just, you're seeing that kind of from all over the team. It's quite a turnaround for them, for sure.
How important was this supposed conversation where Russell Westbrook said, hey, what are our roles? Everyone tell the team what your role is out loud. And supposedly that, like, led to guys starting to do more of what they were supposed to. Are you buying that?
Yeah, so what we keep hearing from guys is, just like you said, there was a practice a couple of weeks ago where everyone kind of finally defined, here's exactly what we need from all of you. You know, it is interesting that conversation happens at this point in the season, where that's usually something that teams have time to iron out in training camp and earlier on. Obviously, there were a ton of hurdles this year that kind of prevented that from happening. But yeah, a couple weeks ago, everybody's talking about exactly what they need to do. Hachimura steps up, says, I can guard 1 through 5. Team says, okay, we're going to hold you to that. Since then, pretty much everybody on the team to a T has given Russell Westbrook a ton of credit, not just for kind of lighting a fire under people's butts, and Bradley Beal was right there too in that practice, but I think it was that the beginning of their streak, that win against Boston, where they just had a crazy turnaround in the second quarter, and we asked everybody what happened. He said, Russ got into us after the first quarter and said we were letting them have it way too easy. So, you know, it does seem like this is exactly what they wanted, what the team wanted when they got Russell Westbrook on the team. They said, we want him for his leadership. And that part seems to certainly be playing out now.
Well, I wanted him real quick, Ava, for being able to get to the basket and creating havoc. He goes to the line 12 times last night. Now he missed a million of them, but whatever. That's the Russell Westbrook I signed up for. He's got his legs, right. It seems like, here during this streak. Was he as hurt as I kind of think he was dealing with that quad? And how much healthier is he now, and how sustainable is it?
Yeah, it sure seems like it. And, you know, that's the other really important thing about this 5-game win streak is they've had Brad and Russell Westbrook all five games. Nobody's had to rest yet. You know, we're not sure if Westbrook's going to play the second half of this back-to-back tonight. I would be pretty surprised if he does just because of how many minutes he's had lately. But you've got Bradley Beal coming off of that rest that he took. You know, he sat for that game against the Knicks. I think the last time I talked to you guys said he needs a couple days. So since then, it looks like both guys have been totally on par. And I do think Russ is pretty, I mean, you could tell he wasn't driving, like you said, like the Russell Westbrook that we know. And he is taking way fewer threes now too, and kind of prioritizing taking the twos, taking the shots where he can draw contact and get to the line. He's playing smart. He's playing really smart.
Ava Wallace, check out her work in the Washington Post on the Wiz. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Let's get to the gridiron. Storylines are percolating on the football team. Pete Haley of NBCSportsWashington.com. Pete, Alex Smith says that the organization did not want him back, that they didn't want him even on the roster, let alone on the field this past year. He's turning heel. He's been a face. The crowd cheers when he comes out, and now he's like spray painting his beard black, and he's wearing the NWO gear, and he's coming out with the Wolfpack. What is going on here?
Grant, I was floored when I read these quotes, and I mean floored because my boss, Matt Doolin, always sends me links and says, hey, can you read through this Alex Smith story and write something about it? And I'm like, oh, great, another Smith story. What is there to say? And I'm kind of scrolling through the questions and answers and their shtick about Aaron Donald sitting on his back on that sack and just generic comeback. And then I get to Alex Smith dropping F-bombs and saying the team didn't want him and it wasn't open arms. I'm like, is this Alex Smith? Is this the classy guy who's like Derek Jeter and never says anything interesting? Who is this man? So it is just a lot to take in. If you haven't read the piece on GQ.com, you must. I would never really advocate for an Alex Smith interview being must read, but this one absolutely is. And it makes me kind of wonder, man, this guy might just be willing to bounce from Washington. I don't think there's really a ton of hard feelings. I think Ron Rivera and Alex Smith developed a really good relationship throughout the season, but apparently early on, at least in Alex's mind, it was not that smooth, and he was not exactly thrilled with how his full comeback attempt was handled and received by people in that building.
Yeah, Pete, listen, it's my job to give my opinion. I was skeptical. He's not talking about me. He's talking about people in you know, Washington's facility. What are your takeaways here? Because, and I want to see if they line up with mine. My first is he knows he ain't coming back, and 1A is he don't care that he's not coming back. This is a guy that got benched when he was concussed. He didn't say peep. This is a guy that's been traded multiple times over who didn't say peep. This is different, and he's not only saying peep, he's saying bleep. He cursed. Alex Smith doesn't curse, and he cursed in this piece. Those are my takeaways. Anything to add, agree, disagree, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, he cursed. He said the worst curse word there is, basically. I mean, it was just insane, and I'm going to go back and read it after this call because I'm just so entertained and amazed at how different the tone is. But, I mean, there is one part where Alex was, you know, complaining about the team slowly working him back and trying to put him on PUP and putting him on PUP and then trying to maybe delay it more. And I understand that an NFL player wanting to play despite injuries or concerns or preparation, he just wants to get on the field. I understand that's a tale as old as time. But from the team's perspective, Alex, you got to be a little realistic here, dude. Like, they had never seen an injury and an infection like this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime sports occurrence. Of course, Ron Rivera and the staff who doesn't know you is going to try to ease you back. So I think that was maybe Alex going a little bit too hard and maybe where he loses a little bit of standing or a little bit of credence in his argument. So, but again, it's an athlete trying to prove himself, and this was the ultimate case of needing to prove himself to doubters. He had as many doubters as anyone has ever had, and to his credit, he proved them wrong, and now he seems more than happy to just say, all right, Washington, thank you. I had this amazing journey. We'll revisit this when the movie comes out in 20 years, but screw you guys. You thought I was a wrench a couple years ago, and I'm certainly a wrench now when you need a total reset. So whatever team wants me, I'm still fired up. I'm still ready to go, and I have a lot to offer, which he also said at the end of the interview.
Pete, did Ron Rivera, correct me or tell me when he said this, there was a time when he said something along the lines of they would have had the same season or they would have done the same thing if Kyle Allen was their quarterback. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think it was right in his last press conference of the year, right after that playoff game, and maybe that's playing a part in
the. All right, so here's my question.
Go ahead.
Somebody texted me, I'll just say a football person texted me, that did not go over well with Alex Smith at that time. Now, you fast forward, here we are today with this story, but what was the context? Like, why did Rivera say that? It feels like a shot at Alex Smith in a way, or at least it took away some of the credit from what Smith accomplished, obviously. What was the point of that? Was it to build up Allen? And it seems to me like there's a connection there. If we're trying to figure out why he's bothered or upset, like, that could have annoyed him.
Yeah, I mean, I can, after this call, I can get off the line and tweet you kind of the full transcript, find that. But it was definitely in the end-of-season presser, and I'm not sure exactly what the context was, but, and I don't necessarily want to speculate. So I'll tweet it, and if you want to quote tweet that and explain it further, go ahead. But, yes, I can see why that wouldn't sit well with Alex. When he's saying, you're telling me Kyle Allen, he of 10 or 12 starts and the guy who has turnover issues and cost you that game in New York and hadn't really done much else in his career – would have been able to guide this team in the playoffs like me, a 15-year-old veteran who has the respect of everybody in the league. So Alex being upset with that wouldn't surprise me in the least. And maybe he's feeling just a little bit disrespected. Clearly he felt he was earlier in the year, and I guess maybe that was sort of the other bun on the disrespect sandwich, if you will.
Pete, any ideas just real quick on the impetus for this? Like, how did we get here? You think they asked him to take a pay cut, to retire? I mean, like, how did this comes out of nowhere to me? That's what's the most stunning about it, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy because, he's been on 60 Minutes. He had a whole documentary about him. He's had interviews with every outlet across the planet, international, local, national, and this is the one he chooses to do it with. I don't know what the impetus is. Maybe it's just he's gotten tired. He's seen all the deliberations and the speculation and just all the pieces of Alex needs to be cut. Alex needs to be let go. They need to get rid of this guy. He's sort of a dead weight. Like, thanks for 2020, but 2021, stay the hell away. So there might just be some pride issues, or we're getting closer to free agency. He just wants to be released now so he can pick his next team. Maybe he's trying to force Washington's hand in that respect. So there might have been something, but it's just odd because Alex and Ron had such reverence for each other throughout the year, and how much respect they had for each other, with Ron going through cancer and Alex texting him about that, and Ron drawing inspiration from Alex's personal battles, of course. So there might be some souring of a relationship that publicly seemed very, very solid.
Pete, be well, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
See you, buddy.
Let's talk some puck. Brent Johnson, good buddy of mine. I've spent many a night with watching Caps hockey. Played with the Blues, the Caps, the Penguins, and in Phoenix at one point in time in his 300-plus games in the NHL over 12 years. Johnny, what's going on, man? How you been?
I've been all right. GP, where you been all my life? Jeez,
I know, brother.
It's been a while,
I miss you.
Buddy.
I will see you soon, hopefully. Hey, let's get to these goaltenders.
So.
What are you seeing? Vanecek was supposed to have been a third guy, wasn't even supposed to be in the National Hockey League. He's become the horse. We only really see him, and then Anderson played for the first time nearly 350 days, got his first start over the weekend, and was great. What'd you think?
Well, Anderson looked sharp. I mean, for a guy that's been sitting on the bench without fanfare for the last month and a bit, he came out and put in a pretty dandy performance out there. To contrast him with Vitek Vanecek, and even throw in Ilya Samsonov into that mix, that Anderson just plays a totally different style of goaltending. He's got that kind of hybrid Martin Brodeur old school type of goaltending, and man, I really enjoyed watching him play and getting a win against a well-needed win against New Jersey the other night.
What do you like big picture, and what are you not liking right now, Brent, when it comes to this Capitals club?
Let's go negative, let's end positive. Negatively, I think that they still need to fix things in their defensive zone. Their coverage is lacking sometimes. And also a little bit of the consistency punch. I mean, you see a couple games with, they're playing Pittsburgh. But tonight, they did it against Pittsburgh where they start hot and then they, ease their foot off the gas and they allow teams that can score. They allow them back in the game and ultimately to overtake them in the end. So they need that patient game, kind of like the game they played against the Pittsburgh Penguins the last game where they beat them, finally came through, and play that patient game, get out to a lead, and then just, never relent, never take the foot off the gas like they did that last game. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. Hopefully we see another good performance in Vitek Vanecek. But, truthfully, guys, youngsters in goal, you got an aging backup who's, played once You got Henrik Lundqvist, who is starting on the ice again, wearing his Washington Caps gear. It's just some weird stuff going on right now with the Caps goaltenders. So it's strange, but you know what? Youth and some old dudes on the side is not a bad thing to have.
Johnny, you played on both sides of the rivalry that we'll see tonight with the Caps and the Pens. I think it's become the number one rivalry in D.C. sports, to be completely honest. Maybe it'll lose a little luster this year because there's so many different faces on Pittsburgh's side.
Right.
Is it even, though? Like, do Penguins fans feel the way about Caps fans that Caps fans do?
Yeah, they do. You know, we've talked about this in different sports, Grant, you know, where, you know, a lot of people in Dallas will say they're America's team, but then you have, like, the, you know, the Steelers, you know, that everyone, wherever you go, you see Steelers fans. It's kind of like that with Washington and Pittsburgh, you know. I feel like Pittsburgh is the older organization. They've had more cup wins. They're well known around the NHL for having a winning atmosphere and a very classy organization. And then Washington over the last few years has just kind of pumped up and start to build up, and that rivalry clashed with the two youngsters again, as it had been in the 80s. It rekindled when Alex and Sid started coming into the league. It was just fantastic. And yeah, being on both sides, you know, both cities, I would think, I hate to say, I won't say hate, but they loathe one another, you know, and they want their team to obviously do a lot better in the standings and come away with a lot more wins. So it's a great rivalry. I hope it never stops, because they're so close geographically, and it's just a fantastic thing to have here in Washington.
Brett, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on the Blitz.
My pleasure, guys. You take care.
You too.
Brent Johnson, watch him on NBC Sports Washington before and after Caps games. We'll have a big, juicy 4 o'clock hour coming your way, hoping to get into the Nats and a couple of things that Davey Martinez told us. A few of you still on hold want to talk about Alex Smith and what he had to say about the Washington football team not wanting him back this past season. You're listening to Grant and Danny. What song is this, Darius? This is that, like, TikTok, Instagram thing where people, like, hop five times to the refrigerator. What is this called?
I'm not very in tune with the TikTok stuff, but this is Where Is the Love by the Black Eyed Peas and Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
Yeah.
First
long time
knowledge.
Ago. Yeah.
Well done. So this song, do you know about this, Danny? Are you in on any of this? I'm not a TikToker.
I don't know what this is. I know the song. I've heard it before.
Okay. So there's a bit on, like, TikTok, and I think it made its way to Instagram, where people hop to the beat of this song, to whatever they're doing. So basically, like if they're going to the refrigerator to get a beer or something. I don't know the whole point of it. But you have no idea what I'm talking about when I explain
that? No, but I think I'm good on it. I think.
Oh, you'd be extremely good on it.
I think I'm all set, right?
Knowing you like I know you, as good as you can be on it, that's how good you'd be on it.
Right, Are we still planking? Are we still doing that? Are we still playing dad or whatever we're doing in freezers? Just these the dumb trends that are around for 7 seconds. I never participate. Just sit them out, wait for them to pass, and then you know the next storm comes.
So I need someone to tweet me right now at Grant H. Paulson. You can tag Danny in if you'd like. Particularly someone young that knows what TikTok's all about.
Yes, young person.
Explain to me. Explain what I'm talking about. I've seen it 100,000 times. I just don't know how to voice it to Danny, because I don't know what it actually is. But, yeah, you just hop to the beat of that song, and that's it. It's like an 8-second clip, and it makes no sense. And it's certainly something I would never do if I lived to 100.
Sure,
but
sure,
a lot
sure.
of people do it, and they take themselves seriously, and they record themselves doing it, and I'm supposed
I'm
to
amazed.
Not think that they're foolish for doing it. So, yeah,
I'm amazed generally at the TikTok phenomenon. I don't get where the lack of embarrassment comes from.
Right.
How do these grown
adults
so embarrassed.
Do this?
I think, like, I remember the risk of putting yourself out there as a young person, like as a teenager. You step out a single millimeter, you're immortalized forever in the worst possible way. I feel like we're missing the shame that should be happening with very poorly choreographed dance close up via phone to songs. I think everyone should be way more embarrassed than they are. And I don't know where it is. I don't get why there's not more embarrassment. If someone does something genuinely funny, it makes it like a cool YouTube video or whatever, like an original sketch, like Godspeed. And you know, people should try to be funny and you know, pushing the limits. And sometimes sketches don't go right, obviously, right? But I don't get how lip syncing and sort of poorly dancing, and then when like a naughty word comes up, you just like do a shush motion. I just don't get how this whole thing is happening. And I know it makes me old and everyone else is young and they're probably chuckling me right now. They're guffawing at the old man on the radio who doesn't understand what the young people are doing. I'm just asking a general question. Where is the shame? The shame should just stop this. Nip it
right
in the bud.
Where is the embarrassment?
We should just have embarrassment and go, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. But
I totally get it with young people because young people don't often feel shame. You know, they don't feel, and they shouldn't. I mean, when you're very young, you're timid and you're shy and you're embarrassed. But if you're a teenager or a college kid, you don't care about most things. So I totally get that. I also get immensely attractive people dancing or, you know, doing something.
Sure, attractive people, yeah.
You know, if you're one of these, like, stunningly hot smoke show girls or these immensely attractive, great-looking guys.
Like 81
who are, like,
abs.
Professional dancers who just have abs that, on top of abs that are side-by-side with other abs. And their whole stomach is flat in Abby, those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. They're Abby Wambach. Then right. I understand that you would do something like that. But like adults and these grown people, if you're over 40 and you're doing this, what are you doing? And it's always the same person that does like the picture and they're like, look at my new shoes. And you're like, you don't want us to look at your new shoes. You're not talking about your new
shoes.
You're
not doing that. Yeah.
You know, but it's like to be funny or ironic, like I'm getting in on the craze, crazy dad over here. It's like,
I'm
no,
just going to
really...
go ahead and do it, guys. I'll TikTok with my teenager.
You
I'm older than
it.
She is.
Just own it. You 40-year-old.
You wanted the attention.
You wanted the attention.
And I love attention. I thrive on it. It's my lifeblood. It's basically carbs and attention, and not necessarily in that order. But like everyone does this thing where they throw their shoe up in the air and then it lands on them, but it's like a quick cut, and they're like, what? I can't believe it. It's just very simple editing. That's not special. See what I'm saying? Like you changed outfits when you jumped and landed, and you just started the camera in the same position. It's this lack of novelty, and it's so uninteresting. I just want everyone to be embarrassed, and if they're embarrassed correctly, it'll go away. But nobody's embarrassed. I don't get the lack of embarrassment. You're right about the attractive people. Well, no one will ever tell them that they should be embarrassed. Just because if you're that attractive, you just take videos of yourself all the time. Here's me eating a salad. Here's me looking at cheesecake, pretending I'm going to eat it. You're not. Here's me brushing my teeth and look at all my abs. Here's me in my brassiere. Just very attractive people have different rules. I'm not talking about them. But there are millions of people that are not attractive on the TikToks, just doing unattractive people things without embarrassment. Where is your shame? That's what I have for you.
And I totally get it, and I agree. You know what I mean? I think there are people that should feel shame. If you're a grown adult with children,
yes,
you need to not be doing this. You should feel that shame. You should feel that embarrassment.
Right.
I can't believe it. It's all the time I wonder, how do they not feel it? How do they not experience what the rest of us do? But here we are. So I've been texting people constantly for the last hour or so in and around the Washington football team. And a couple things that keep coming up when I keep asking the question, why is Alex Smith bothered or upset? It sounds like that there is something to perhaps him having been annoyed or frustrated in terms of either his relationship with the team most of the season or what have you. Not that it was contentious or awful, but that he did feel like they didn't necessarily want him. But the two things that I keep hearing that were particularly frustrating to him to the point, my question was, what would have led him to be annoyed enough this offseason to do this interview and say this to GQ? And two things keep coming up. The first is people keep saying Rivera's comment that Kyle Allen could have turned the season around like Alex Smith did. And I'm still trying to go back and find the exact quote. But to paraphrase, basically, toward the end of the season, Rivera said something along the lines of Kyle Allen could have done what Alex Smith did. Smith was 5-1 as the starter. Now, I want more, as I asked Pete Haley, he's going to dig it up for us, it sounds like. I want more context on that quote. Is he trying to build up Kyle Allen? What was the point of saying it? It was a little bit of a jab maybe at Alex Smith inadvertently. I'm not really sure. But Smith did not take well to that, from what I've told. I've been told. The other is, apparently, not getting to play in the playoff game did not stick well with him at all. that maybe he wanted to go in that playoff game, something that I haven't thought a whole lot about.
Considered that, because I thought it was just if he – I bet you if he could have gone, and this is always my thought, if he could have gone, they probably wouldn't have started the guy that was taking online classes at ODU.
That's always what I thought.
A week before.
That is what I thought as well. Alex Smith didn't play in the playoff game, so clearly he didn't play in the playoff game because he couldn't. Now, this is a couple of people have kind of mentioned this, and this is something that may or may not be 100% what he's actually mad about, but that was part of it, perhaps, that he wanted to or felt like. And it could be, honestly, simply, Danny, he wasn't 100%, but Robert Griffin style or anybody else, he's going, no, I've battled back. This has been a two-year thing. I'm about to play in the playoffs. You're going to let me play in the playoffs. And Rivera basically said, you're not 100%. I'm not letting you do that. And he goes to Taylor Heinicke. But apparently that could be a major source of frustration. And that was right at the end of the year heading into the offseason. Because my point is something has had to happen to get him angry enough that you're going to break character, that you're going to turn heel, that the glass is going to shatter and Stone Cold's going to waddle down to the ring and drink a bunch of Budweisers. I mean, this is not what Alex Smith does.
I'm stunned by it still, man. I reread those couple of paragraphs, really three paragraphs in this interview in the GQ multiple times over, and I'm floored each time. I'm shaking my head, as the kids say, SMDH, right? That's the acronym.
This is the oldest segment that's ever happened on the radio, by the way.
I'm trying to set a record.
You sound 300.
Yeah.
I sound 106. You sound 300.
But I'm doing what the kids do. I'm SMDHing over here. I'm stunned by this. I cannot believe Alex Smith said this. Alex Smith! Other people, yes, I would go, yeah, it's kind of on brand. He's a firebrand. He gets ticked off, or he's competitive. I keep saying the same thing. Alex Smith got benched when he got concussed. That's like the cardinal sin amongst NFL players. He would have had every right to pipe up and be like, honestly, man, that was BS. At any point in time in the year since, he's never given one interview to GQ, to Vanity Fair, to Martha Stewart, to Southern Living. He's never told anybody. Yeah, I thought that was kind of BS when I got benched, when I got concussed, when I lost my job because I altered my life potentially and possibly suffered brain damage for this guy, and he benched me during that. What a load of BS. Never once did he say that. This he's spouting off about only a month later. Wow. Is my reaction to that.
Let's go to Ned in D.C. Ned, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
You guys are 300. I'm Methuselah because I'm 600. Because I don't go TikTok. I don't go Instagram.
You won't TikTok, sir.
No, Alex Smith doesn't TikTok. He's too old to TikTok. And that's the problem here. Okay, let's talk reality.
Is the problem that he's never done the thing where he jumps around going, din, 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 and he hops around to the beat of that song? That's the problem?
To the Black Eyed Peas? I bet you he is not.
Yeah, because if he did, he would strain his calf. That's what would happen if he did that.
That got me.
Okay? So here's the problem.
That popped me.
The guy can't protect himself. That was obvious. Listen, I was a fabulous guy. What a story. What a comeback. But what did Jerry Glanville say? What does everyone remember Jerry Glanville for? What did he say?
NFL stands for not for long. Keep making calls like that.
Thank you. Not for long. He's been in there 16 years or whatever. A miraculous comeback. The best comeback ever to be able to come back and play at a reasonable level. But the coaches saw what we saw. That Kyle could have done what Smith did. And Taylor Heinicke outplayed, you know, all the other quarterbacks that played against Tampa Bay, including Tom Brady. So, I mean, he can't protect himself. If he was a younger version of Alex Smith, yes, and he's making a ton of money. That contract is huge. So they're saying, we gotta get rid of him. He's got to go. It's great, but, you know, and he doesn't like it. So he says, oh, I'm going to get released and someone's going to pick me up. He is not going to play as a starter in the NFL again. It's not going to happen.
You didn't say anything. I didn't cut you off because I don't disagree with anything you're saying. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate you. That is one thing you got to add to the if he is actually bothered or was upset by not playing against the Bucs. He would not have played as well as Taylor Heinicke did. Now, over 16 games, does Alex Smith maybe have you with a better record than Taylor Heinicke would? Yeah, I would probably assume that
yes.
He would. Probably. That game against Tampa, scrambling around, running for your life from that pass rush? Alex Smith doesn't have that game. Heinicke was fantastic. And maybe it was a one-hit wonder. Maybe he was Chumba Wumba tub thumping. Maybe it was a once-in-a-career kind of night for him. Possibly. Alex Smith wouldn't have had that game. So if it was actually any kind of a back-and-forth behind the scenes between he and Rivera, or him lobbying to play and Ron saying, no, we're going with Heinicke, then the coach won on that one. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Smith has to be happy about it. Javel's in Culpeper on G&D. What's up, Javel?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing this evening?
Doing great.
Very well. I agree basically with the last caller. And what I told the producers was, and I'm not throwing shade at you, Grant or Daniel, so I want to, you know, preface this before I make my comment. However, I do feel that professional athletes are alpha males. And when you get to a certain level and you get, you make a certain amount of money, you feel a certain type of weight. And I feel Alex Smith feels that way. And Grant, I want to come to you, not disrespectful, but you have come on the airways over the past 3, 4, 5 months and said, basically, Chase Young is average. That's what you said.
No, you got the wrong guy, my
that's
friend.
That's me. I've said he's good, but we all need to calm
Danny.
Down.
I'm sorry, Grant. Dan.
That's all good, buddy.
You have basically said he's average. And I feel that he's heard that he's from the DMV area, and I think he feels a certain type of weight. And he hasn't been on 106.7 because you have basically said he's average and he can be traded for Deshaun Watson or whatever, Matt Stafford or whatever quarterback was available. And I think players feel a certain type of way, especially when it comes from the hometown, audience, media, fans, whatever. And I feel Alex Smith feels that he came back and he showed that he could produce, you know, with the when it comes to winning and losing as the quarterback. But I don't like that because the NFL and football is the ultimate team game. You know what I'm saying? So that win-loss percentage or win-loss record when it comes to the quarterbacks, I really, really don't like that.
However, yeah, you and us both. I mean, you know this show. We don't do that. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Chase Young not having been on the station has a whole lot to do with Danny thinking he's a little bit overrated.
Yeah, I don't think he's average. I think he's really good, and I've said that from the beginning.
Yeah. Having said that back to Alex Smith, his feelings are probably hurt, right? I'm sure you're right about the alpha male thing, and guys don't like hearing that they're not number one. I mean, they've grown up their whole lives being the best on the field and in every locker room they've ever been in. We're trying to get to the bottom of how that happened. Up until 5 hours ago, this was one of the great feel-good stories in years and years and years for this organization.
That's right.
Entire year was positive. I keep using the word darlings, but the national media loved this team. They loved Rivera. They loved Alex Smith. They loved Chase Young. They loved the stories. It's been really cool to have this, finally. And now Smith comes out, his music plays, and we think he's coming out to high-five Rivera and wave to everyone and walk back in the tunnel maybe to leave as a happy former Washington football player. And his music came on, and he came out, and he cut a promo against Rivera and the team. And we're all just standing here going, the hell just happened? That was our feel-good thing. That was our fun thing all year. Grant and Danny on the Fan, 5 at 5 is about 17 minutes away. 5 at 5, about 10 minutes out. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan in D.C. and all over D.C. on 106.7. And we are also now available over the air in Richmond, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. Hopefully the show continues to grow. Very, very cool and exciting. So thanks to the folks in Richmond checking us out. Take us with you, radio.com, all over the country. You're getting out of the car to do some grocery shopping like I had to do today, no problem. Hit pause, get back in the car, hit play. You can rewind if you miss something that you like. It's all available to you with radio.com. Today, my most important item that I was getting on the grocery trip, Danny.
What is that?
By the way, when you go to shop, I say I'm going to the store. What do you say?
Instead of what? I think I say I'm going to the store.
Well, like, people will say I'm going to the market, I'm going to the supermarket,
no,
I'm going
that's wrong.
To the grocery. Some people say they're going to the grocery, I've heard. That annoys me to no end.
You're going to the grocery?
That's a hurting bit.
No,
have you heard
that's
that?
That's wrong. I have. That's not correct. You're not.
It's so terrible.
Yeah. I think I say I'm going to the store. I'm going to the store. Now, if there's potential double meaning there, it could be a number of stores. It's usually pretty clear that I'm
That's
going
the problem,
to the grocery
though.
Store.
you're going to the store. Are you going to buy clothes at Kohl's, or are you going to Food Lion to get a gallon of milk?
I think if I'm saying I'm going to the store, it's grocery store 99% of the time. I'm sure there's an example. But but let's say this condition. I'm going to the hardware store. Ah, there's your variety. I'm going to J. Crew. I'm going to Brooks Brothers. I'm going to Gap to get clothes for the kids. I would specify the name of the store if it's a non-grocery store, I think, almost every time.
I tend to agree. I think if I'm going to do something other than the grocery store, I'm telling you where I'm going. I got to go to Home Depot.
Hey.
If I'm going to Best Buy, you know, I'm going to tell you that. If I'm going to anywhere that isn't defined, if I say store, it's probably just I'm going to pick a couple things up. Today, the number one item on the list, we ended up getting way more than was on the list, shocker.
Always the way, of course.
Unsweetened iced tea. I was out. Big now on the jugs in the refrigerator. I have to have those. Because
like
I've been doing like a make-your-own move, and then our glass pitcher broke, long story. So we haven't had the glass pitcher lately anyway. But I'm big on just having the huge jugs of unsweet iced tea. Normally I go Gold Peak. I don't know if you got one that you like. There's a bunch that I dig, but right now I'm in a Gold Peak kick. So I had to get two big jugs of tea.
Which one's the Gold Peak?
How am I describe that to label? Describe it to you.
Describe that label to me. I know obviously it's iced tea color, so I'm like.
Yeah, so the label is. I'm pretty sure it would be like. It looks like a mountain on top of just the words Gold Peak.
Because the one I'm thinking of is the Pure Leaf. Is that beautiful green with the black backdrop, right? The Pure Leaf one I've seen. Yeah, yeah. So
Pure Leaf, in fact, a big fan of them. They actually sent us some coupons years ago to the show, you and I as fans of
Pure Leaf. Oh, that's the one that's based in Bethesda?
I don't know if they're based. No, Honest Tea, I think, is what you might be thinking of.
Oh,
also,
Honest
at one point,
tea,
took good care of us and sent us some things. There's a lot of great tea companies, Danny. I am an equal opportunity tea drinker, I'll say that. But
you are. That is true about you.
That was my number one item. And last night I had a great dinner, so we had to get more food. We're going like day to day with our dinner at this point. We did scallops last night. Where are you at on scallops?
I love them. I love them. A little tiny seared scallop. That's all we're doing. We're just searing both sides. We just sear it. And now it's ready. Plated. It's hearty. It's kind of like the steak of seafood. I'm a big scallop guy.
Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy?
Which one's the higher flyer?
I would say Jeff.
It was Jeff, 100%.
It's Jeff then.
Darius,
wait, I thought Matt was the
100%.
higher flyer.
No.
Wait, Matt Hardy?
I think Jeff was a better high flyer. Darius, I'm going to tag you in. We're the same age. You may have been a slightly bigger wrestling fan than me. I was a much bigger Jeff Hardy fan than Matt Hardy, but it was them and Lita, if you remember, I think was their name. Sidekick. Mm-hmm. I met them at King's Dominion one time. But I think Jeff flew a little higher than Matt, don't you?
Jeff absolutely flew a little higher. He had his signature move was the Swanton Bomb, if you may remember, in which he would fly from the top rope and land on people's bodies in ways that we could never imagine doing so.
He would flip over in air, Danny, and like land with the back of his head right on them. Very dangerous move.
Darius, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Where would he rank in all-time high flyers?
Oh, my goodness.
Because there's basically three different kinds of guys. Guys that are all pomp and circumstance. Like Hulk Hogan was actually not that great of a wrestler, but he was the greatest on the mic. You know, it was just super fun. That leg drop is a big, dumb move. Then there are guys that are, like, great wrestlers and fun, but they're still, like, it's about ground and pound. Then there's, like, the high-flying crew who always do the acrobatic type stuff, I think. Who are the best high flyers ever?
Yeah. Jeff is definitely sky high at the top of that list because he has a lot of those signature moments where he's jumping from ladders. You got to remember the Hardy Boys were involved in a lot of those fights with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian. And a lot of those fights were tables, ladders, and chairs matches or ladders matches. And Jeff, basically, anytime they had one of those matches, Jeff was going to fly from the top of a ladder doing his Swanton Bomb.
Garrison
top,
and I are the same
three.
Age, Danny. So we're in on the same era of wrestling. Rey Mysterio is going to be number one on any high flyer list that you have. And then I would say Hardy is right there. I mean, Jeff Hardy might be the next guy on that list.
So we're so influenced by what happens when we're kids, obviously. So, like, no one will ever convince me that anybody's better than Joe Montana. The same way you'll never convince my dad that anyone's better than Johnny Unitas. Like, you could point to any piece of data, and I'll just go, no! Joe Montana, even though no stat holds up, even whatever relative to league strength. But for me, Jimmy Superfly Snuka was the only high flyer I'll ever consider being the best.
Five and five comes your way next. Scallops are delicious. You should incorporate them in the rotation coming up soon for dinner at some point. Get to the 5 at 5 on G&D. Remember, Tommy Shepard, GM of the Wiz at 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.